The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Ben Wright Human, author of the webcomics Cost Pain and the Letters of the Devil, and you are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 353. I hope all is well with you, and I want to thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, on this episode, I am going to highlight my trip just a couple of weeks ago to CXC. Of course, I'm talking about Cartoon Crossroads Columbus, the annual event that happens here in the city. And I know you probably heard a few weeks ago, Jay Caligayan, the executive director, and I talk about it. And I went down and I want to kind of chronicle some of the events that went on. And I also want to talk about some of the cool people I met at the show. Again, CXC was the week of October 3rd. I attended the opening gala, so to speak, in which Vincent Alexander, whom you're going to hear from in a little bit, presented some cool classic cartoons. It was a really fun evening. And then Sunday, I went down to the main show at the Columbus Metropolitan Library, the downtown version. And I met a lot of cool creators. And I spoke to a lot of cool creators, such as Larry Hancock and Michael Cherkis, who do a book called The Silent Invasion. Sydney Kitt from the Columbus Cartoon Coalition. Tim Fuller, the man behind Hoo Ha Comics. James and Rob, two Canadian creators, James at James_comics, C-O-M-X, and Rob at MirskToons, M-I-R-S-K-T-O-O-N-S. Talk to those guys. I also spoke to Vincent Alexander, whom I just mentioned a few moments ago. And I even got an opportunity to talk to one half of Cartoonist Kayfabe, Jim Rugg. And I will say this real quick. I owe Jim kind of an apology because it was the end of the day. Literally, things were closing up and I had a couple minutes to talk to Jim. And I kind of just was kind of a little bit rushing, if you will, with our conversation because I knew that Jim wanted to get on out of there and go back to Pittsburgh and whatnot. So I totally forgot to mention and ask him to mention, I should say, his social medias. So I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to do it for him. Obviously, Cartoonist Kayfabe is over on YouTube. Just search for that. You can also find all of the information on how to get in touch with Jim or follow what he's doing over at his website, which is jimrugg.com. That's J-I-M-R-U-G-G.com. And I want to thank him for taking some time out of his busy schedule to chat with me. Before I get to this collection of conversations that I procured while at CXC, I want to thank my great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. As you hear me say all the time in these advertisements, it is a great comic book store. They got everything you need for your fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, toys, collectibles. They have literally everything you need for your fandom. Well, okay, maybe not literally, because I'm sure some people will probably want a life-size Han Solo frozen in carbonite. They don't have that, but you get what I'm saying. They have a lot of stuff that you need to check out. So go on over to the store. 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio is the street address, or check them out online, wgcomics.com, or follow them on Facebook at wgcomics. Again, I thank Jeff and all the fine folks at World's Greatest for being a sponsor of the PVD Cast. It means a lot to me. So again, folks, if you're in Central Ohio, you have no excuse. You should jump on over to the store, check it out. If you're out of Central Ohio, still check it out online. like I said, they're great people and they deserve your business. And I thank them one final time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear all the many conversations I had at CXC. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm stopping by the table of Michael Circus and Larry Hancock, two gentlemen that have created a book called The Silent Invasion. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, everything's good here. We've been enjoying ourselves here at Cartooning Crossroads Columbus.
There you go. Smart move, Michael. Smart move.
CXC 2022. Yes, it's been a good time. It's our first time here.
I was going to ask if this was your first time here.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's our first time here. We did apply a couple times, once before COVID, and we were rejected then. And then COVID hit, and we never applied during the COVID years because we didn't want to take place in a Zoom convention.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of creators have mentioned that they opted to take some time off. I know one individual that actually had been doing so many conventions. Like he said, one nice thing about COVID was I could just stay home and focus on my projects and kind of do that, you know. So that's not an uncommon statement that many people say.
Well, we attended one Zoom TCAF event up in Toronto, and we found it really disappointing. The problem with Zoom events is that the people that come to you they're only looking for you. Here in a gathering with face-to-face with people, you get make more random encounters.
Yeah, and certainly that probably increases your sales because like me, I had not heard of your book until, you know, today when I stopped by your table and you started talking a little bit about it. And would you like to give a little summary for the listeners of what The Silent Invasion is all about?
Larry, do you want to do it without going into point form?
Well, The Silent Invasion was created back in 1986 when a publisher came to us and asked us specifically to create a comic. When we did that, we said, well, what is it that we like? What is it we enjoyed? We knew we were going to do a black and white medium, so we hearkened back to our memories of when we grew up in the 1950s and 1960s. So we based this on things like The Twilight Zone, The Outer Limits, B-movies from the 1950s. So this is, Michael says not point form, but, you know, we cover the topic of UFOs, paranoia, government conspiracies, alien invasion. Are the aliens real or not? Is the government real or not? Who controls who? And trying to investigate and discover and being, it's like paranoia.
The basic story revolves around a reporter who's delusional and he's lost 3 hours of his life, of his memory, either through drinking too much bourbon or kidnapping by aliens from a UFO. And he sets out to discover what's going on with the flying saucer flaps of the 1950s. And he believes there's a connection with the Red Scare.
Yeah, the first books are set in the 1950s. And it is aliens, the Red Scare, and McCarthyism all rolled into one.
And then, if I'm not mistaken, Larry, you said there was a little bit of a pause between the first two books and then the last two books. Is that correct?
The first two books are set in the 1950s. Our protagonist mysteriously disappears. So then we jump ahead to the 1960s, where our secondary protagonist in the first books is now the main character. And he's drawn reluctantly into UFO investigations, and he discovers a clue that says that our first protagonist might still be alive or may not. So he's both trying to avoid investigating UFOs, but again, he's being chased and followed. And
and he wants to discover what happened to Matt Sinkins, the main character.
And then in the fourth book, the current final book at the moment, we leap ahead to the early 1970s, and our main character is the brother of the character from the first books, who again has his own UFO encounter and decides he's got to look into the disappearance of his brother. And he does this by going to Alien Inductees Anonymous meetings.
I want to cycle back real quick, if I may, just real quickly. I mean, the summary was great, but just something clicked. You had mentioned that growing up,
you were, you know, obviously influenced by the Red Scare and communism and whatnot. And please don't take offense to this. How was it in your experience as opposed to the U.S. experience? Like, did you in Canada have kind of the same fervor that we had here in the United States?
In the 1950s, I believe there was. Since I was only, I was born in 54, but I know based on what I've read, there was a Red Scare in Canada, but there was no McCarthy.
Nobody running amok.
Yeah,
ruining
nobody
lives.
Running amok. Okay. But they were trying, they chased after homosexuals, trying, because they said they were going to be, it was called the, I think they called it the Pink Scare or something.
Okay.
Where they drove out homosexuals from governments, sensitive government positions, right? So it did exist, but I don't think it existed to the extent that McCarthy brought it to the States.
He was on a whole other level.
Yeah. And we play up that McCarthy thing too a bit, you know. Where, you know, we make vague references to the numbers of communists in the State Department and stuff like that. And then our main character in the book actually ends up being discredited because he's accused of being a communist and he loses his job and he has to leave the city. He's got to go find another job in a smaller place.
Well, let's talk about a couple of other projects. I see Suburban Nightmares. Can we get a quick little summary of that?
Well, when we were doing The Silent Invasion with Renegade Press back in 1986, it was being done as one longer novel at the time. And we wanted a break, so we decided to do some short stories. So Suburban Nightmares was our short story series, which has appeared in two separate collections. We describe it as tales calculated to keep parents awake at night. No children are actually harmed in the making of these books, but these are our childhood fears from the 1950s. We also describe it as Leave It to Beaver meets the Twilight Zone.
Okay.
And we had a real great time doing these stories. We've moved away from the 50s since then with the few other tales of Suburban Nightmares we told at the time.
All right, let's talk real quickly, Michael, about Red Harvest. It seems to be a little bit of a kind of political book as it deals with some of the topics of the Ukraine and whatnot.
Well,
is that an accurate statement or am I off topic?
I'd call it it's partly political, but it's mostly a historical book about the Stalin's terror famine that he executed over Ukraine in 1932 and 33. And the Ukrainian famine has gotten more known in the past few years, but it's still not a well-known genocide, or because some people refer to it as a genocide because so many Ukrainian peasants died in the famine as compared to Russian peasants. But I do know other parts of the Soviet Union also suffered. Kazakhstan lost 2 million of a population of 4 million, so in fact it was worse in Kazakhstan than in Ukraine, like per capita, but the Ukrainian death toll runs from anywhere, depending who you're talking to, it's 4 to 7 million people, right? And so it's a historical book that it's to get that story out so that in a form that is more readable than a textbook or a historical scholarly work, because the book is fiction, but it's based on real events.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Well, gentlemen, where can folks find you online? Website, or if you have social media or whatnot?
If anybody, on Facebook, you can simply search The Silent Invasion, and you'll find our page. And online, we generally don't have a web page presence of our own, but all of our books can be found on Amazon and other fine online retailers, both in print form and digitally.
And actually, you even have various different languages as well. As I'm looking here on the table,
The Silent Invasion, we've been fortunate over the years. We've got, as you say, on the table here, we got a French language edition. We got a Croatian language edition. And we've got some other of our materials published in German and Swedish in the past.
Cool.
Yeah, and I don't remember if The Silent Invasion was one of those projects, or was it?
Well, The Silent Invasion was published by Sweden.
Okay.
And the publisher chose to publish the first two volumes and then not after that. He said it was the worst selling books he'd ever sold.
You can you can edit that out.
Well, Larry, Michael, thank you very much for taking some time out of your schedule today to talk to me.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, folks, two other individuals I met here at CXC, Rob and, of course, James. Guys, how's it going?
Pretty good, thanks.
Thank you.
So tell us about Sludgy, which is the comic that you have here on display. Tell us all about it, please.
Sludgy is the swamp monster with a heart of gold. All they're trying to do is have a good time in the forest, meet friends. Unfortunately, people are afraid of a sludge monster, and it usually ends poorly for the people involved. It's like a cute horror comic, but lighthearted and fun, but steeped in horror.
Okay, okay. Why did you decide to do a comic like this?
I don't know why I do most of the things I do. It's I really love Casper, Friendly Ghost, growing up.
Okay.
And this is kind of like Casper turned on its head for adults, almost. It's like, okay, Casper meets the Toxic Avenger.
Okay.
So it's like weird, you know, taking that but running it in a weird direction.
Okay. What's the creative process for mapping out an issue of Sludgy?
Well, I draw it literally panel by panel without a script. And I just sort of jam my way through 28 pages until I'm done. We do a thing called the Toronto Comic Jam back home. We're from Toronto, Canada. And so it's this event where we go to like every month and like you draw a panel and then someone else picks up the board and draws the next panel and you keep going until the pages are filled.
Okay.
And then we got like books made at the end of the month sort of thing. And so by doing that for so many years, it's kind of informed my writing process at this point.
Okay.
So I just jam by myself until I'm happy.
Cool.
See what the panel says and where it's got to go next.
Okay.
And keep it loose.
Well, let's talk about a couple of other comics that you have here. Let's talk about, go ahead, Lamp Quest. Tell us all about this, James.
So Lamp Quest is a comic that I'm releasing this weekend. It's based on those old like text entry style video games where, in this comic, it's basically just the character exploring the world, trying to, you know, enter various doors or achieve various things, and the game kind of blowing up in his face. I think he's electrocuted on page 2, and it just goes downhill from there. I serialized it all on my Instagram, so if you go to @James_comics with an X, you can find it there.
Cool. I like the retro design of like the CD case and that. I dig that. That's cool.
I spent a long time on the cover art. I was like drawing in my room for 2 hours. Then my wife came in and saw that I had just drawn like the centerpiece that holds the CD in the case. It's about an inch around. She's like, what are you doing with your life?
I don't know, but personal pet peeve is I always hated when the center thing broke.
Oh, yeah.
And then your CD's loose,
and
man.
The CD's just bouncing around in the case.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, of course, of course.
Kids these days don't know the pain.
That doesn't make us sound old at all, ladies and gentlemen.
Not at all.
I mean, all right, let's talk about generic action hero. It caught my attention. I really want to hear what this is all about.
So it's basically a love letter to 80s Schwarzenegger movies.
Nice.
Boiled down into 7 pages using as many of those goofy action tropes as possible. Because action movies from that time are probably better than the comedy movies of that time in terms of how funny they are. So it's just a mini comic, 7 pages of complete goofiness. And then when you fold it out, there's a movie poster to go along with
it.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so just trying to like utilize the whole book and just having fun, you know,
having fun.
That's cool. What comics are all about, and we try to do that when we're making them.
I got to ask, favorite action movie from the 80s?
Commando.
Ooh, that's...
that's where this all started. I actually was working on a tribute to Commando where a bunch of cartoonists take like 2 minutes from the movie and then break it down into 2 pages of comics each.
Nice.
And the book never materialized, but I had so much fun drawing those 2 pages that I decided to make Generic Action Hero as something I could actually put out.
All right, totally randomly off topic. Have you ever heard of a band called Austrian Death Machine?
It's a metal band. I don't think they exist anymore. They were out of San Diego.
Okay.
And they did three albums of nothing but metal tunes about Schwarzenegger films.
I need to hear this.
There's like samples of like, get to the chopper.
Yes, yes. I lied.
Yeah. And there's like, that's the hook. And then they just thrash out to
it. Oh my God, I love this. Okay, yeah.
Austrian Death Machine. You have to look that up on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So let's talk about a couple of other real quick here, because you have a few other comics, mini comics, if you will.
Yeah.
Dingus and Dum Dum and the Lemonade Brigade.
So the Lemonade Brigade are, it's like, I grew up in the suburbs, and it's like suburban punks just trying to, it's like whatever hijinks you get into in the suburbs, which is usually pretty boring. You deal with the cops, and you do a lot of mischief for no good reason sort of thing. So that's basically like what that is. And then Dingus and Dum Dum is... My favorite comic is like the old Popeye.
Okay.
And so I tried to make like a 1930s comic strip.
Okay.
And so in 2020, I did about, I serialized 75 of them on my Instagram because I just had nothing else to do.
Oh.
And then.
Join the club. You right? And the whole entire world.
So I've just drawn my face off. And then I started working on more Dingus and Dum Dum. So this one is like, again, it's 7 pages. Each page is like a daily strip that you'd find in an old newspaper.
Okay.
And then when you unfold it, like the other one, this one has the full color Sunday funny edition.
That's pretty sweet.
So, which basically, like, they're all standalone, but they all, like, it's like an arc, and this is where it all comes to the conclusion. So,
cool. Excellent.
I just love using the paper and, like, seeing what I can make of it.
And that is definitely something that's innovative.
Yeah, right? So, I just, you know, having fun.
You got it. Yeah. Where can folks find you online? I know, James, you mentioned James_comics with an X. Is that also for all your other social media? Or
that's Instagram's the best place to find me online, yeah.
Okay.
And my Instagram is MirskTunes, MirskTunes. And that's my personal account. And then me and my wife have a business where I draw T-shirts and she screen prints them all.
Oh, cool.
And that's at My Moving Parts. And that's tons of good shit there, too. So you should check out all of the Instagrams.
Cool. Guys, thanks a lot. I appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your time.
Hey, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am standing here talking to Sydney Kitt. Sydney, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's CXC been for you?
Oh, it's been wonderful. So this is the first time that I've personally tabled, but also the first time that the club, the Columbus Cartoon Coalition, has tabled. And we've definitely already been making plans for next year, how we're going to come out bigger and better.
Cool. Can you give a brief history of the Columbus Cartoon Coalition?
Yeah, of course. So kind of a longer history. I was in a comic class January of 2021 with Mitch Vishu. They were my professor, and I got hooked into comics really bad. So I invited them to go hang out with me at CXC that year, So just a year ago. And we were just sitting there talking, you know, coming up with these amazing ideas for our own personal art. But I also was coming to the realization that I was graduating in December, and that means that I wouldn't have forced critiques anymore. So I was like, who's going to critique my work now? And they had just recently become a professor at CCAD. So they grabbed all of their CCAD people, I grabbed all of my OSU people, and we combined into a Discord server. So we've had the Discord server for almost a year now, so it'll be a year in November. And we have over 100 artists.
Oh, wow.
And just from this weekend alone, I think we've gotten 20 more.
Okay.
So it's all Central Ohio-based, all comic-related, so writers, artists, illustrators, just a lot of different backgrounds, all in the same area, so we can all connect in person, but also online.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit about your project that you have on the table. Can you give us a brief little summary without maybe giving away too much?
Yeah. So my personal comic is called A Letter to Brad. I illustrated it after my partner's mom wrote a really heartwarming, very emotional letter talking about her mom's lifetime partner, Brad, so the titular character. He had battled multiple myeloma for the majority of his life and unfortunately passed away 2 years ago from it. And so her way of dealing with her grief was to write him a letter to talk about, you know, the amazing life that he had, and her way of doing that was talking about a potential future. So she wrote a story about talking to her future grandchild, telling him all about the life that Brad had lived. And when I read it, I was just so overwhelmed. Like, it made it feel like I had also known Brad for his entire life. So we worked together and we brought it to life in a graphic novel, and 20% of the proceeds are being donated to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, which is a society that helped him with tons of medical bills and whatnot throughout his life. So we are donating proceeds of that to in his honor.
And you, there's plenty of individuals that have some great works over there. I mean, we could probably spend an hour talking about all those folks.
Yes,
but
for
definitely,
sure.
Where can folks check out some of this stuff online? That I assume that some of these artists will have their works displayed on a website or whatnot.
Yeah, so we're working on building a website right now, but we are on Instagram and Facebook at CX3. Period Ohio, and we frequently tag all of the artists, so if you find a post of art that you like, the artists will be tagged so you can easily find them and find more work that they do. And I'm, every single person that on this table I'm sure has had at least one post. I know a couple of them have been posted several times because they are super awesome and very active, so you'll definitely be able to find everyone's work on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, last question. We talked off air. You're excited for the upcoming Blue Jacket season?
Very much so.
All right, what are your predictions?
Obviously, I would love to win the Stanley Cup, but I know that that's not going to happen, so I'm hoping. I actually made a comic for the class about the Jackets winning the Stanley Cup. But it's,
really?
Yeah, but it's me in 2083.
Oh, it's 2083.
So you're like, oh, this is awesome. She's talking about the upcoming season. Nope. She is definitely an old woman. I love you, Jackets, but please do it sooner than 2083.
Yeah, 2083. Jeez, boy. you might as well just stretch it out a little bit and stomp on Marvel and be 2099. Yeah, but anyways. Right. All right. Well, Sydney, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Folks, I'm going to interject for a moment just to talk to you about a great sponsor of the PVD cast, World's Greatest Comics. As I say it every single week, they are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got pretty much everything that you want and need in a comic book store. So stop on over and check out the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online. WGComics.com is their web address. Or you could check them out on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am standing here at the table of Mr. Tim Fuller. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You're from Cincinnati, correct?
I am.
How's the show been for you?
This has been a great show. It was super busy yesterday, and it's been really good today as well.
Yeah, and you know what? As I mentioned before, I think when I talked to somebody else here earlier today, Sundays sometimes tend to lag a little bit, but here, it's just hot. It's hopping.
Yeah, there was never any downtime yesterday.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like there's much today either.
No.
All right, well, let's talk about a couple of your books and whatnot. Talk about Captain Catnip, if you will, for the folks that are listening.
Captain Catnip was my oldest creation. It was my very first sale way back in the late 70s to Charlton Comics. And then Charlton promptly went out of business. But I resurrected the character with Craig Boldman doing the writing and me doing the artwork a few years ago. And it's our all-ages comic book.
Have you gotten any feedback from parents or kids whether they really, really enjoy Captain Catnip?
Yeah, kids seem to really like it. They get really excited when they see the art. It's very kid-friendly anyway, and I think the parents enjoy it as well.
Well, let's talk about something that maybe is not so kid-friendly. I stopped by and picked up your parody book, TV Snide, which, you know, is a little bit racy here and there, but talk to us a little bit about what this project's all about.
Well, TV Snide in particular was just a personal project I wanted to do. I got bored over the winter, and I thought I would write my own TV guide. When I was a kid, we had a subscription, and it was always a big deal when TV Guide showed up. And I would grab it immediately out of the pile of mail and see what was going to be on for the week. And so I always thought, I could do my own. And so I just started not knowing exactly what I would do, and in no time I had the entire week all laid out with all the program specials and late night shows, morning shows. And there's sort of even a storyline that goes through the whole book. I was kind of hard on Sonny and Cher and their divorce, and a little rough on Jerry Lewis and his telethon.
But you know what? It looks like it was pretty labor-intensive. Would that be an accurate thing to say?
No, the real key to it was finding a font that would let me do the little bubbles that had the channels in it. Once I found that font, it was just simply a typing job. I just started a document and just filled in.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Sham Comics. So how did this project come about?
Sham is my really big seller. It's published by SourcePoint Press out of Detroit. I discovered, I was doing some research online about public domain films, and I came upon all these comic books that basically have no copyright, no one owns them, and they're just free and clear for anybody to use. A lot of, there are a lot of publishers out there that just publish straight out reprints of these old books. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do something different. I try and buy the old comic books that I'm going to do, scan them at a high resolution so I can keep the fidelity of the little dot patterns and, you know, all the nuances of the artwork. I take them into Photoshop, erase all the text, every word of text, and start over again. Usually I don't even read the books before I start on them, and create a satiric story based solely on the artwork itself.
That's pretty awesome. And now, this one here that's to my left, which is Island of Lost Gorillas. Is that a little bit of your tip of the hat to the Planet of the Apes?
Yes, it's the film book. It's based on an old movie called Bela Lugosi Meets the Brooklyn Gorilla. It also is a public domain film. And I applied the same technique to it. I put a DVD in the computer and simply stopped it, and an image captured it at certain points to, you know, make the art, and then added the word balloons, wrote the story. And it's sort of a lost parody. It's got Bela Lugosi. It's the only book that I've nearly been sued.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hell no.
Well, if you notice, Bela Lugosi here on the cover is wearing a luchador mask.
Yes.
He wasn't originally. It was just good old Bela. And I got a cease and desist letter from Bela's grandchildren, who apparently own his image and license it to products, and they were highly insulted at Bela being in a comic book like this, and they weren't going to have any of it. So,
wow.
So I spent another year photoshopping this luchador mask over top of Bella's face so I could publish the book and not get sued.
Well, that's some creativeness, I'll say that.
I wasn't about to give it up at that point. I had too much time and effort into it to just let it go.
Gotcha. Well, Tim, where can folks find you on the internet, website, social media, anything along those lines?
My website is hoohacomics.com, and I have links to all the books up there. The Sham Comics are all sold through SourcePoint Press. They have online presence, and they're in lots and lots of comic shops.
All right. Any other upcoming projects you want to talk about real quick?
I do have a project. The people that used to do Starlog magazine in the 80s and
90s.
I used to work for them. I used to do comics and cartoons and illustrations for them. They're getting the band back together, and they're going to start publishing a magazine, quarterly magazine called Star Drive Comics.
Cool.
And they've asked me to do a Sham story in every issue.
Awesome. Cool stuff. Well, folks can check you out online and keep tabs on when that's going to drop.
Thank you very much.
Tim, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, I am standing here with Vincent Alexander at CXC. Vincent, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great. I mean, this is a great turnout. It's Sunday. Technically, sometimes Sundays are not always great for cons, but it looks like it's booming.
I know, yeah. It seems to be a lot of people here, and they all seem to be pretty receptive to everything, so it's great.
So on Wednesday, you kick things off with a kind of retrospective, if you will, about cartoons. And I was there. It was an awesome presentation. But could you maybe explain to the listeners some of the things that you talked about, some of the topics that you covered?
Yeah. So we were screening some really old, like 1930s, late 20s cartoons that had that rubber hose style. And that's the style where the characters are really squashy and stretchy and they have like noodle arms. If you've ever seen Steamboat Willie or any of the really old Disney or Fleischer cartoons, that's kind of what we looked at. But just wonderful stream of consciousness, surreal stuff. And I love those cartoons because they're so 100% cartoons. You know, you can't do any of that stuff in live action. So that's always something I look for in, when I'm doing animation is, you know, how can I push it as much as those cartoons did?
Where did you find some of those clips that we watched? Because I gotta imagine that, you know, they were made in the 30s and some of them even older than that.
Yeah.
Where do you go to find, you know, those type of films so you can take them out and show them to different people?
Yeah. Well, I'm not like a film collector. Like some people find these old, you know, the actual film reels and things. These are really hardcore historians. I just source them from different, you know, links online. There have been, a few of them have been released on Blu-ray and things, so I kind of took them off of that. Or, and in one case, I had a brand new restoration of Swing You Sinners, which I got in contact with this company called Rockin' Pins that's been kind of restoring the old Max Fleischer cartoons. So I talked to them and they lent me this new restoration that they made, which looks really amazing. It's a great cartoon and really nuts. And, you know, it looks better than it ever has. So, yeah.
So in your opinion, the wilder, the crazier the tale in these cartoons, the better?
Yeah, for me, I love, you know, I always get a kick out of it. A lot of these just will go on some weird tangent and then it ends in a way that doesn't make any sense, doesn't really resolve anything. To me, that's so funny and it's just, it keeps them just so unpredictable and surprising.
Okay, real quick question before we talk about your art. Yeah. So when it comes to these cartoons, what's your history with them? Like, how did you discover them? Was it something that you, as a kid, started watching or that somebody like a grandparent introduced you to or whatnot?
Well, I actually got into like classic animation because I used to watch Looney Tunes and things on TV. And at one point I got this book. I think it was just sitting there at Barnes & Noble. I asked my parents for it for Christmas and it was like the Art of Warner Brothers cartoons. And I just wanted to look at the pictures. But I started reading it after I'd looked at all the pictures and I had all this history. It would tell you like who made the cartoons. And I got really into, you know, classic animation. So I like read every book I could find on it. I kind of, you know, started finding these even older cartoons, the black and white things that pretty much forgotten by most people. But, you know, they're out there and they're great.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your artwork. Yeah. So obviously, you're very much influenced by a variety of different styles.
Yeah.
So talk to me about how did you get into doing your own art? So you went from being a fan to now doing your art.
Yeah. Well, actually, even before that, I used to just draw like any kid does. But once I kind of started, you know, seeing that history kind of stuff and I kind of got the idea that, you know, these don't just magically come about, like people actually make them. So,
right.
So I kind of thought, you know, I could try to do that. So, you know, I would always draw comics and just doodles and things. And but I always wanted to kind of make the characters move. So when I went to college, I majored in animation, which I didn't really know how to do. But I kind of learned how to, you know, have these characters I'd drawn and really move them around, which was great.
You got any projects coming up that folks should know about?
I'm working on a new film it's kind of a parody of the sort of YouTube how-to kind of videos where they like teach you stuff, but it's sort of like transferred into cartoon terms. So it's like a cat trying to show you how to catch a mouse and he like keeps failing.
Okay. Where can folks find that? Do you have like a social media, YouTube account, website, stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Vincent Cartoons, but you can also check out my YouTube channel, Vincent Alexander Cartoons. If you just Google that, it'll show up. You know, I've got my cartoon Musical Man and the Magic Kazoo up there. I've got, you know, quite a few cartoons I've made. So yeah, that'll be up there soon whenever I get it finished.
Well, you know, you've had a busy weekend,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
Right, yeah.
Well, Vincent, thanks, man, for taking a few minutes out of your time to chat with me. All right, thanks, man.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, wrapping things up here at CXC with Jim Rugg and, of course, Ed Pescor, the guys behind Cartoonist Kayfabe, Grand Design Hulk, Street Angel. What am I forgetting? You guys have so much. Hip Hop Family Tree. How could I forget that? That's a great book. But, Jim, how's it going, man?
It's going great. This has been a great show here at CXC.
Is this the first time you've been here?
No, it is not. Okay. We live in Pittsburgh, so I've come to a lot of comics events in Columbus, and I have been to CXC before, but this has been the best one so far, at least for me.
Yeah, it's been pretty busy today.
Very busy, all weekend.
Yeah, that's great. So let's talk a little bit about Street Angel, if you will.
Yes.
Let's start with that. So can you give a quick synopsis of the book?
Street Angel is a homeless kid, a homeless ninja on a skateboard. And she lives in a rough part of town that's overrun by ninjas, mad scientists, monsters, superheroes that aren't very super. All the stuff you'd see in superhero comics, but with a little bit of a twist because of our kind of our punk ninja superheroine.
Gotcha. So you also have a lot of like wrestling paraphernalia here. So, and of course, obviously, Cartoonist Kayfabe, that has links back to wrestling. So who are some of your favorites?
Roddy Piper, Stone Cold. It's the usual list, you know, Ric Flair, Andre the Giants, but Piper's the guy who I really love a lot.
Okay.
He was doing a podcast the last couple years of his life, and that's where I really connected with him. You know, he seemed to have a lot of positivity that he was putting out in the world, and I know that's not what he's known for, but he also seemed to be a guy that gave 100% to anything that he was doing in front of fans, and I just always respected that kind of enthusiasm and giving nature.
You know what? I'll tell you right now, I do appreciate in your book here, the Tommy Rich. That sketch. You know what? You talk about somebody that doesn't maybe get proper due. Wildfire, Tommy Rich.
Yes.
That was thumbs up on my behalf.
He liked to bleed, I guess.
Well, among other things, too. But that's another podcast for another time. So can we talk real quickly about Cartoonist Kayfabe?
Absolutely.
Real quick. That is, of course, your...
Daily YouTube channel.
Yeah,
there is a podcast. You know, you can listen to it on a podcast feed because we got requests from people that wanted to listen to comics talk on their commutes to work. And you don't want to encourage them to watch video while they're driving.
No.
But YouTube is our platform for it. And we deliver videos at least one a day for the last several years, you know, helping people... stay sane during the lockdown is when we went to a daily format. We talk to other cartoonists in shoot interviews. We look at a lot of the comics that we grew up loving or comics that we have found as adults, things that speak to us as comic makers and as comic fans. We talk our own processes, you know, a little bit of how to do stuff. A lot of our fans are also comics makers. So we talk about how we make the comics that we make. We talk about the comics that we love. And we love comics. Like, it's a very positive channel where it's just like, let's celebrate this thing that we love.
Okay. So if you're looking for you guys to trash a comic, that's not going to happen on this.
It happens
once in a while, we
come up with our reading list each week. And sometimes, I guess, we're disappointed in the book.
Right.
We try to be honest. But for the most part, there's so many great comics out there. So not too much trash talk.
Cool. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my various conversations from my trip to CXC just a few weeks ago, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and there's a bunch of different ways you can tell me whether you liked it or maybe you didn't like it. First of all, you could shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com is my email address, or you can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds of the PVDcast. Just search for @PVDcast. And I'm also on Twitter. Just search for @PVDMVP, because that is my personal Twitter handle. And let me remind you where you can hear the PVDcast, and there's a bunch of different avenues for that. Obviously, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and the easiest way to get each and every single episode. But the PVDcast is also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. You know, like Google Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. Just go to your favorite app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put John Orlando after it, and you should find it. You gotta rate and review. It helps me out so much in the algorithm.
It's super important to these podcasting outlets to know who's listening and who's not. So again, just rate, give me as many stars as you think. Give me a quick review, maybe a couple of words, great episode, loved it, whatever. You don't have to be very, very detailed in your review. I mean, if you want to, go right ahead, but just jot down something. Again, rating and reviewing means a lot, so please do that. And what do you know? I forgot to tell you about another place where you can hear the episode of the PVD cast that drops every single week, and that is over on the Facebook page. Every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little Facebook broadcast. So you, there you go. You got pvdcast.com, you got your favorite podcasting app, or you got Facebook. You got three different ways to hear my beloved podcast. And with that, I think I'm going to get on out of here, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to thank you once again for checking out this episode. I truly do appreciate the support. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2022.